The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol held its final public hearing this afternoon and approved the final report on its investigation. The hearing included a vote to refer criminal charges against former President Donald Trump to the Justice Department. Here's Republican Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming summarizing some of the committee's findings.
This was an utter moral failure and a clear dereliction of duty. Evidence of this can be seen in the testimony of President Trump's own White House counsel and several other White House witnesses. No man who would behave that way at that moment in time can ever serve in any position of authority in our nation again. He is unfit for any office.
Prior to today's hearing, Trump posted on social media that the committee members were, quote, thugs and scoundrels who are, quote, corrupt cowards who hate our country. The referral for charges leaves the Justice Department with a historic decision of whether or not to criminally prosecute a former U.S. president. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you watch or listen to this afternoon's event? What did you think? Have you been following these hearings over the last year and a half or so? Do you support the referral of charges against former President Trump? Should the Justice Department charge him with some or all of the crimes they listed? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. David Siemers is a professor of political science at UW Oshkosh. He's the author of several books and articles on the Constitution and the separation of power between Congress and the president. His most recent book is called The Myth of Co-Equal Branches, Restoring the Constitution's Separation of Functions. David, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be with you.
Well, can you talk about these criminal referrals? I think the big outcome of today, on the one hand, they have no force of law. The Justice Department would have to decide whether or not to act on them. On the other hand, this is kind of unprecedented territory, symbolically important. What do you make of it all?
Yeah, well, first, what is a criminal referral? And it's just when officials who can't charge someone with a crime find credible evidence of a crime and want to turn that over to the authorities who actually can prosecute that crime. And this happens fairly frequently. If state officials, for instance, find someone has committed a federal crime, they'll turn over information to the federal authorities so that they can be charged with a crime or decide whether that happens. So it happens all the time, but what's unusual about this is who's been referred, right? Donald Trump, the former president, and for what? For actions that he took while he was president of the United States. So I was trying to cast around for maybe some historical precedent, and I have a couple things in mind, but there is really nothing quite like it.
What is in the neighborhood of precedent? Because, yeah, I've been racking my brain, too.
All right. So in the United States, let's go back to 1974, and you have a special prosecutor, Leon Jaworski, who is leading an investigation of the Watergate break-in and the associated cover-up. So that is on the executive side, but he's doing something that is kind of like a referral to Congress. He's saying to Congress, hey, the president was likely involved in a criminal conspiracy, and here are the charges that I would bring if I were the prosecutor. But you know what? He's the sitting president, and so you probably want to take a look at this first. And the clear implication from Jaworski is that the House committee should recommend impeachment, which it ultimately did, and that is what forced Nixon to resign. So that's a precedent in the United States. If we want to go way back in history, James I, monarch of England, 1642, is a kind of rogue monarch, according to people in the House of Commons. And he goes into the House of Commons in January of 1642, attempting to arrest five of their members on a charge of treason. He is rebuffed in this. The five members have been told to leave. And in the next few days, people in London are so incensed by what the king did that they kind of hound him out of town. And that's the beginning of the English Civil War. And ultimately, he's brought up on charges, and in 1649, that ends rather badly for James I.
I think it was Charles I. I'm an English Civil War nerd. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a lot to work with now. And there's been this question all along, like, okay, can a sitting president be charged with crimes, or can only Congress impeach the president? Well, how about a former president? There's the argument with the second impeachment, you can impeach a former president. So can you charge a former president with crimes? Where are we on all that right now?
Well, surely you can charge a former president with crimes. The only reason that a sitting president is not charged with crimes is because there's a Department of Justice memo saying that that's bad policy for the Justice Department. And you can see why, because the Justice Department is officially underneath the president. So it creates all kinds of potential conflicts of interest. And, you know, it's probably better from a governance perspective or a separation of powers perspective to wait until after a president is out of office. I mean, Donald Trump said it as well as anyone, I suppose, or posed a really interesting question when he said that maybe he could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue in New York and get away with it for a time. Perhaps, at least according to the Department of Justice, that could happen, though that's a state crime. And, you know, then you have a president perhaps being prosecuted by a state. But the president wouldn't get away with that in the long run, because the president is simply a private citizen after he leaves office.
We are talking to David Seimers from UW Oshkosh, looking at today's hearing, apparently final hearing of the January 6th committee in the U.S. House. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. The committee referred the former president to the Justice Department for a list of charges. Should former President Trump be charged? If so, with what? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234. Let's go to your calls. Will is with us in Eau Claire. Will, hi.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Well, it finally wraps up. The committee's done. A couple of comments. I had, like many, many people, hoped Mr. Trump would have been successful, but it turned out that he essentially is a scoundrel, you know, and we don't need to have, you know, attorneys tell us that. We saw it with our own eyes as a country on January the 6th. First time in our country's history that that kind of action has ever occurred. So whether or not he is found guilty or how this plays out, I think that all of us need to be careful about any kind of approval or sanction of this guy as a future office holder. And he'll go down in infamy. So that's it. That's all I have to say. Thank
you. Well, thanks for that call. I mean, that follows up on what we heard from Representative Cheney there, saying that the former president is, quote, unfit for any office, unquote. Politically, even whether or not charges are filed, is our caller right that the message is out there?
Yeah, I think that's an important part of what the January 6th committee was doing, to lay out facts for the historical record. You know, whenever Congress acts or members of Congress act, it's not just about the good of the country. It's about politics as well. And I think, you know, Democratic members are probably also thinking about politics. They can't help but do that. They're in that position. And so marginalizing Trump with a certain constituency, like the caller who was maybe a voter in 2016 and maybe even 2020, and did not foresee the events of January 6th. There are a lot of people who have learned that lesson, and to keep the gas on that pedal is something that the January 6th committee was going to do.
Thanks a lot for that call. I want to look at the charges they referred, the committee referred to the Department of Justice on President Trump, former President Trump. Here they are: obstructing an official proceeding, defrauding the United States, making false statements, and assisting or aiding an insurrection. What do you think of that list of referrals? One more than I think people had expected to come out of this.
It's a pretty serious list of criminal charges, right? Not official charges, as you said, but accusations, right? Based on the evidence that they found. Insurrection possibly carries with it the possibility of a 10-year jail sentence, also a disqualification from ever holding office in the United States again. The other ones are serious as well. The conspiracy to defraud has been, or obstructing an official proceeding has been used hundreds of times in the prosecution of January 6th insurrectionists or rioters. So if the people who actually listened to Donald Trump and kind of went to the Capitol and stormed the barricades were charged with that, it probably makes sense that someone, if they incited that person, would face that charge as well.
We're talking to UW Oshkosh political science professor David Seemers about the final January 6th public hearing this afternoon and the referral of criminal charges for former President Trump and others. You can join in at 800-642-1234. It's in the Department of Justice's hands now, a special counsel. Do you think former President Trump should be charged with a crime or crimes? If so, what? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with UW Oshkosh political science professor David Seemers with us today to talk about the fallout from the January 6th committee's final findings. They included a recommendation for criminal charges against former President Trump. Their full report expected to be released later this week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Among those charges, as we just mentioned, the charge of insurrection. Here's Democratic Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland earlier today describing the seriousness of that charge.
It is a grave federal offense anchored in the Constitution itself, which repeatedly opposes insurrections and domestic violence, and indeed uses participation in insurrection by office holders as automatic grounds for disqualification from ever holding public office again at the federal or state level. Anyone who incites others to engage in rebelling, assists them in doing so, or gives aid and comfort to those engaged in insurrection is guilty of a federal crime.
Let's go back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Saul is with us in Stevens Point. Saul, hi.
Hey, how are you? A couple of things, just to be a nitpicker. He said he could stand in the middle of Broadway in broad daylight and shoot somebody. And depending on how far uptown you are in Broadway, that's a lot of people have done that. My comment was I had watched a clip on, I think it was CNN, of Adam Schiff talking about, the prosecution president, and he wondered at Justice Department's slow progress in its various actions against the president. And it occurred to me that I'm wondering if Merrick Garland is still considering he might be nominated to become a Supreme Court justice should something happen during Biden's term.
Saul, thanks for the call. David, the speed of the Justice Department investigation now in the hands of Special Counsel Jack Smith. I don't know if you agree with Saul's thoughts on Merrick Garland's potential future, but what do you make of the rate at which they've been doing these investigations?
Well, it's slow, but you don't charge a former president with criminal wrongdoing on the drop of a hat. It's really important that we not criminalize governance and be wary of doing so. I think that's one of the reasons for the slowness. I think that any violation that is charged criminally has to be pretty clear and readily understood by the public. And there will be many people who say that the president shouldn't be able to do anything criminal. And, in theory, that is a very important stance. In practice, it's a little bit more complicated. And if you start charging presidents with criminal wrongdoing, and you do that kind of immediately out of office, and you do so on technicalities or laws that are pretty obscure, then you're going down a path that a lot of countries have been down, and their citizens regret it. So slowness is okay at this point, I think. I would expect there to be criminal charges against the president, but that's just a guess. I would guess that they'd come out in the next couple months.
Thanks for the call, Saul. Kay joins us next in Madison. Kay, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I wanted to kind of obliquely address what the professor just said, but give a Lincoln precedent, but in reverse. During the middle of the war, Lincoln arrested or ordered arrest of a few newspaper publishers who opposed the draft. But not only did they just oppose it, they urged young men to desert. So Lincoln's response was, why should I not touch the hair on the head of a publisher when I am forced to decide which young men who deserted the Union Army to shoot? In other words, Lincoln's point was it's not just that they voiced opposition to the draft, but they urged action. So with Trump's Republican lawyers urging him to act to control, pull back the crowd, Trump made the decision not to act to control the crowd was an action.
I see. Kay, thanks for the call. And that's something that the committee members were making a point of, former President Trump's inaction while the crowd was in the Capitol, as in effect supporting that crowd. David?
Yeah, I mean, the Trump actions in the minds of the January 6th committee clearly go beyond dereliction of duty, right? Making bad decisions as president and go toward criminality. And I want to point out how extraordinary that is, because public officials have a lot of protections, not reputationally, obviously, but legally in the decisions that they make. And you have to really be egregiously criminal in order for to be charged with criminal behavior while you're in office and making decisions, or as the caller says, non-decisions that affect people.
Okay, thanks for that call. Aaron is with us now in Marinette. Aaron, hi.
Hello. I just wanted to make a comment, kind of a general comment. That even though there's a lot of national resentment and distaste towards Donald Trump as former president, to be certain that we still uphold the ideals of innocent until proven guilty, and that any charges that would be laid against him would be done because of the facts of the situation, not because of national sentiment or some type of emotional dislike for him as a person or how he operated as a president, and that any charges that would be pressed against him, you know, they really have to consider, would it lead to a true indictment? Is there any chance at all of actually finding him guilty?
Aaron, I gotcha. Some background noise there, but David, what do you think of Aaron's point?
Yeah, those are great reminders. If he becomes a defendant, which we don't know yet, he is afforded all the rights of any criminal defendant. I would say, to go back to the charges a little bit, that the fake elector attempt or scheme to kind of have alternate slates of electors are something that this committee was really looking at and thinking about when they formulated the charges. Now, the DOJ gets this, and, like, it doesn't do anything for them, right? They've gathered their own evidence. They're making their own decisions. And if anything, it puts them in a little bit of an awkward position. So I have faith that the DOJ is doing their job slowly and methodically, and we'll see where that goes.
Thanks for that call, Aaron. And I mentioned the special counsel, Jack Smith. It seems like so far he's very much trying to not make himself a household name here. What are you watching for from him in the months to come?
Well, just be a big news release someday, right? But if he decides not to prosecute or sends that recommendation on to Merrick Garland, well, it'll drop with a kind of thud, right? So Jack Smith is a very experienced prosecutor and has a terrific reputation for thoroughness, being methodical, being fair. So we'll see what comes out of that office in the next couple months.
And I wanted to mention former President Trump has announced he's running to be future President Trump. Does the fact that he's now an announced candidate who presumably would be running against the sitting president, does that influence the Justice Department's thinking or treatment on this?
I don't think it does. Merrick Garland has said that you dole out justice without fear or favor. I think, you know, practically, we as American citizens have to be sensitive to the fact and understand that there are millions of people who are very strong proponents of Donald Trump. That's not a reason not to charge him. That's not a reason to charge him. All that occurs on the basis of evidence. But in terms of politics and the fallout of this, we've got to understand that people are going to be really upset. Now, if the charges actually materialize, I'll just leave it there.
All right, David, and we will leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
All right, thanks. Good to be with you, Rob.
You too. That's David Seimers, professor of political science at UW Oshkosh, author of several books and articles on the Constitution and the separation of power between Congress and the president. He was with us today to recap what we heard in the final January 6th committee meeting this afternoon, and where the investigation goes from there. Follow that news at WPR.org. Our colleagues at NPR, of course, are writing about that quite a bit today.